This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy McKee. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger said Thursday that a hand audit of ballots in the U.S. state had confirmed that Joe Biden as the winner of the November 3rd election in Georgia. An audit was launched after unofficial results showed Biden leading President Donald Trump by about 14,000 votes. Raffensperger said there was no doubt that the state would certify Biden's victory on Friday. Confirmation makes Biden the first Democratic presidential candidate to win the southern U.S. state in almost three decades, despite his rival Donald Trump's claims of fraud. Mr. Trump, who has claimed without evidence that there was some widespread irregularity and fraud in states that he lost to Biden, including Georgia, can still request a recount in Georgia after the results are certified because of the margin of victory was less than 0.5%. President-elect Joe Biden met with Republican and Democratic state governors Thursday on how best to fight the coronavirus pandemic as President Donald Trump continued his efforts to block the transition of power. Biden paused several times, saying that it's hard to fathom how the president thinks. He said that he's confident if he knows he has won and is not going to be able to win and we're going to be sworn in on January 20th. He goes on to say that the president's bid to sow doubts about the election sends a damaging message about how democracy works to Americans and the world. He added that they're witnessing an incredible irresponsibility, citing what Biden calls the president's outrageous White House invitation to Michigan state lawmakers in an apparent bid to overturn Biden's win in the battleground state. He said that there's questions whether it was even legal. More at VOAnews.com. This is VOA News. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is asking Americans not to travel for Thanksgiving because of the coronavirus pandemic. The CDC's Dr. Aaron Schatz says that the plea comes after more than 1 million new virus cases were reported over the last week alone. She says the safest way to celebrate Thanksgiving is at home with people in your household. If college students or members of the military are coming home, the CDC suggests keeping things outdoors if possible, with people 6 feet apart and wearing masks with just one person serving the food. Coronavirus surges were seen last summer after Memorial Day and July 4th, despite similar warnings. U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar says an emergency use authorization request for the COVID-19 vaccine developed by Pfizer and BioNTech was expected to be filed with the FDA Friday. Pfizer's partner BioNTech has announced that they intend to file for the emergency use authorization at the FDA, and it could be expected to see Moderna filing soon as well. The FDA did not say how long it would take to review the data on vaccine efficacy and safety. The BioNTech Pfizer shot and another one being developed by U.S. firm Moderna have taken the lead in the global chase for a vaccine. After large-scale trial data this month showed that their vaccines were around 95% effective against COVID-19. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on Thursday visited the Golan Heights, an area that Israel seized from Syria in the Six-Day War of 1967 and later annexed. And a break from the rest of the international community, U.S. President Donald Trump recognized the territory as part of Israel last year. Earlier Thursday, Pompeo became the first top American diplomat to visit an Israeli settlement in the occupied West Bank. The moves reflected the Trump administration's acceptance of Israeli settlements, which the Palestinians and many of the international community view as a violation of international law and a major obstacle toward peace. The number of Americans seeking unemployment aid rose last week to 742,000. It is the first increase in 5 weeks, and it is a sign that the resurgent viral outbreak is likely showing and slowing the economy and forcing more companies to cut jobs. The worsening pandemic and the arrival of cold weather could accelerate layoffs in the weeks ahead. Of the roughly 20 million Americans now receiving some form of unemployment benefits, about half will lose those benefits when two federal programs expire at the end of the year. Via remote, I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News. We'll be right back.
morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, and today is Friday, November the 20th. And here are some of the stories we're covering for you this morning. Fighting in the Tigray region continues as Ethiopian government forces battle for the Tigray regional capital of Mekele. The Ethiopian government is accusing the head of the World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, of diplomatic lobbying for the rebels. Dr. Tedros denies the allegations. And police in Uganda say that 16 people have been killed and 45 others injured in protests that followed the arrest of opposition presidential candidate Robert Chagulanyi, better known as Bobby Wine. Uganda's Electoral Commission says that it is looking into his arrest while calling for calm.
The commission has taken up the matter of this arrest of candidate Chagulanyi. The meetings are ongoing relating to that. So we also appeal to the public to restrain from engaging in acts of lawlessness.
Uganda's Electoral Commission Chairman Paul Bukenya. A magistrate court in Malawi has released a self-proclaimed prophet, Shepherd Bushiri, and his wife Mary from custody. And less than 3 weeks ahead of Ghana's election, an anti-corruption special prosecutor has resigned, alleging political interference with his work.
The moment citizens come to that conclusion that if Martin Amidou, as a special prosecutor, cannot fight corruption, then what will be the incentive or motivation for any citizens to want to play their part in the fight against corruption?
That was Beauty Emefa Nate, Executive Secretary of the Anti-Corruption Coalition in Ghana. We'll have those stories and sports right here on Daybreak Africa. And we'll start in East Africa, in Uganda, where police say that 16 people have been killed and 45 others injured in protests that followed the arrest of opposition presidential candidate Robert Chagulanyi, better known as Bobby Wine. Wine's party says that police have not allowed anyone to see him in custody. Other opposition candidates say that they're halting their campaigns until Wine is released. Halima Atumani reports from Kampala.
Gunshots were fired in several parts of Uganda Thursday. In many instances, people screamed as those around them were shot. For others, there were some tense moments as they sought to get away from the violence in the capital, Kampala.
These guys are shooting in front of me.
What? Roads within the city center have been closed as security personnel patrol the streets and shoot at civilians who are out demonstrating. The information ministry released a statement praising President Yoweri Museveni for controlling crowds at rallies as it called on citizens to identify troublemakers and turn them into police. Patrick Onyango, the Kampala Metropolitan Police spokesperson, says their security forces handled violent demonstrators who he said had plans to set fires in Kampala after the arrest of Wine. He says police acted to stop protesters he alleges were pelting officers with stones and looting or damaging properties.
The operation of yesterday and today, we have registered now 16 deaths. We have also made arrests since yesterday and today. The total is 350.
He says those arrested will be charged with various offenses that include participating in unlawful demonstrations, inciting violence, assault, malicious damage, and robbery. The suspects are expected to be produced in court either Friday or next Monday. Joel Senyonyi, the spokesperson for Wine's National Unity Platform Party, says the party has still been denied access to Wine, who is being held in Nalufenya Prison in eastern Uganda's Jinja district.
They have denied him access to his lawyers, they've denied him access to his doctors, they denied access to his family and all of that. So we don't know the condition in which he is, which is very worrying, because this Nalufenya here has for a long time been notorious for killing people, maiming people, poisoning people, inject them with sharp and so on.
Most of the other candidates challenging incumbent President Museveni suspended their campaigns Wednesday in support of Wine, and another candidate who was arrested, Patrick Amuria Toboy of the Forum for Democratic Change. The candidate for the Alliance for National Transformation, retired General Mugisha Muntu, says the election cannot go forward under the current circumstances.
Because it doesn't make sense for there to be an election and then you have fully nominated presidential candidates being arrested. They will use methods of humiliating a candidate to the point where they hope that the population can say, this person whom we are banking on is not a solution to the challenges that we face.
As of late Thursday, the sounds of protests and gunfire could still be heard in Kampala. 10 of the presidential candidates plan to meet Friday to discuss how to proceed. The election is expected to take place early in 2021. Halima Athmani for VA News, Kampala.
And still in Uganda, officials at the Independent Electoral Commission in the country say that they are concerned with the wave of violence following the arrest of opposition leader Robert Kyagulanyi. Paul Bukenya, the commission spokesman, says that the Electoral Commission is engaging all partners. From Kampala, Mugume Davis Gwakarinji has more.
Paul Bukenya, the Independent Electoral Commission spokesman, told reporters that the commission is aware of the negative impacts brought about by the arrest of Bobi Wine to the electoral process.
The commission has taken up the matter of this arrest of candidate Kyagulanyi. Meetings are ongoing relating to that. So we've taken it up with the relevant authorities, and we appeal to the public to remain calm as this engagement goes on. So we also appeal to the public to restrain from engaging in acts of lawlessness that may result in destruction of property and loss of life, as already witnessed.
At least 16 people were killed by stray bullets or stampede since the protests broke out on Wednesday, according to police report. Since then, there have been random protests in the Ugandan capital Kampala and other cities asking the police to release singer and opposition leader Robert Kyagulanyi, commonly known as Bobi Wine. Police allege Bobi Wine was arrested for flouting measures aimed at preventing the spread of COVID-19. Three presidential candidates have since suspended their campaign programs in protest of Bobi Wine's arrest. But Patuoso Verigwa, the chairman of Forum for Democratic Change, or FDC, Uganda's biggest opposition party, says his party will continue with the campaigns despite the challenges. He blamed the current events on the failure of the Independent Electoral Commission, whom he accused of favoring the incumbent president, Yoweri Kaguta Museveni.
This is a move for the people of Uganda to be liberated. So the fight shall continue and continue. For those who are unable to continue, we shall represent them until they're able to move. But we should not give room for Museveni to think that he has won. We shall continue to fight those who are able to fight, and this campaign is going to continue and continue until we have no breath in our bodies.
Electoral Commission spokesman Bukenya denies.
Our engagement with all parties in this electoral process has been the same. We've been very transparent about that. Last meeting you attended had police here at the highest level, the person in charge of operations, and this is what we put to them. The enforcement in a non-partisan manner across everyone, because we have one common enemy called COVID-19. It doesn't discriminate. Now, if one camp goes out and is unchecked, it poses a problem to Uganda.
Religious and cultural leaders have also joined in calls to the police to release Bobi Wine unconditionally. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
And from East Africa, we go to the Horn, where fighting in the Tigray region continues as Ethiopia government forces close in on the regional capital of Mekele. The war has claimed hundreds of lives, with over 300,000 refugees fleeing to neighboring Sudan. Meanwhile, the Director General of the World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, is dismissing allegations that he is, quote, taking sides in the war in his native Ethiopia. In a statement, Dr. Tedros denied accusations by Ethiopia's army chief of attempting to secure weapons and carrying out diplomatic lobbying on behalf of the leaders of the TPLF. A magistrate court in Malawi has released a self-proclaimed prophet, Shepherd Bushiri, and his wife, Mary, from custody. Malawi police arrested the couple Wednesday on request from Interpol for violating bail condition on charges of money laundering, theft and fraud in South Africa. Lilongwe resident magistrate Viva Nyimba says the couple's arrest in Malawi was illegal and ordered their unconditional release. However, state lawyers say that they will appeal against the ruling. And for more on this, I reached reporter Lamek Masina in Blantyre.
So, Lamek, talk to us. What transpired in court today? What were the arguments from both the state and the defense lawyers?
What happened in the court is that state lawyer Steve Kayuni said Bushiri should not be granted bail. He should stay for another 30 days on remand because, according to him, he was a flight risk. Since Bushiri jumped the bail, the strict bail in South Africa, he could also easily do the same here in Malawi. But the lawyer representing Bushiri and his wife, Mary Wapona Kita, said he was applying for an unconditional release for Bushiri because he said the arrest was illegal as the procedure was not followed. Because what was supposed to be done was that the warrant of arrest from the Interpol should have gone through the Minister of Homeland Security, who would instruct the police here in Malawi to arrest Bushiri, not as was the case when the police just got the instructions from the Interpol and went straight to arrest Bushiri.
And what was the conclusion, the verdict of the matter on these issues?
In his ruling, after getting all the arguments, Chief Resident Magistrate Viva Nyimba ruled that Bushiri should be released unconditionally because the arrest was illegal and the South African government should have gone through the Minister of Homeland Security, who would have issued the warrant of arrest internally to have Bushiri arrested.
And what was Bushiri's reaction after the ruling, with the understanding that South Africa has seized some of his property for skipping bail?
In his reaction after the court's ruling, after the verdict, Bushiri told the gathering thousands of his supporters and the journalists as well who gathered outside the Lilongwe Magistrate Court that he was very happy that he has been released. He said he was thanking God. The court in South Africa has seized one of Bushiri's property, in this case the residence, worth about 5 million rands because of violating his bail condition. But when he was talking to journalists after the court verdict, he said he doesn't mind and it's no problem to him that his property has been seized. He said what matters to him is that his life has been saved, because he said he fled South Africa because he said some people, he did not disclose, in fact, were begging for his blood. They wanted to kill him.
Thank you, Lamek. That's Lamek Masina in Blantyre, Malawi.
South Africa's opposition Economic Freedom Fighters, EFF, plans to organize a demonstration near Brecknell High School in Cape Town today. The demonstration's organizers say that they are protesting against racial discrimination at the school and in the country. This after only white students and their families were recently invited to attend a private matric party or prom at a high school. But supporters of the school say that it's within the rights of the organizers to invite people they want to attend a private school function. Opponents, however, disagree, condemning the move as yet another incident of racial discrimination. The school admits both white and non-white students. Local media reports violent clashes between white supporters of the school and EFF supporters. Sibongile Nkasayi, an EFF member, was reportedly attacked with a baseball bat by a white man during the protest. She has since launched an assault charge against her attacker. Sibongile Nkasayi tells VOA's Peter Clotty that despite the planned meeting with the police, she plans to be part of the demonstration to protest against racial injustice in the country.
We had a peaceful march protest. We were about to park the car and we were attacked by the crowd. Can you hear me? And on our way to the crowd, I realized that some of them were armed. So I turned my back, maybe turned my back. When I turned my back, this guy, there was one guy that he told me that he's going to get me. So immediately when he told me that, the guy with the face said that, began to hit me on my back.
So you have filed a case in court against him, correct?
Yes.
On Friday, EFF is organizing another protest. Will you participate in the protest?
Yes, I will be there.
Why? Why do you want to be part of the protest?
Because I'm a member of the EFF.
Are you not worried that you could be a target again?
No, I'm not worried at all.
So what will you be protesting against, if I may ask you?
As the team says on the post, they say against racism.
So what will be your message to the people in South Africa about these protests?
My message to South Africa is that we should be equal with the white people. They should not treat us as outsiders of this country. They should not treat us as if this country belongs to them alone. We're all equal. And to respect women. Because what that guy did to me is he humiliated me in front of South Africa. And I felt very, like, inferior because now I have this thing again. I have anger now because he humiliated me. The last words he said on the scene that when the guy told him that do not hit such a woman, the media is here, he said that she's not a woman. She's nothing to me. He humiliated me in front of South Africa as a whole. Imagine if it was vice versa, if it was a white lady being beat up by a black guy, what would have been happening now? You see, I was like shocked. I am still traumatized what happened on that day. Men should protect us, not just abuse us. I can still feel the pain in my neck. Sometimes it just starts at my back of what happened because it was a baseball bat. Now some white people are saying that it was just a baseball bat. What is a baseball bat made of? To my understanding, a baseball bat is meant to for baseball. It's not meant to beat up a woman.
Did the police interview you and interview him as well?
They only called me. Yeah, they only called me to tell me that they feel investigating the matter, and I spoke to the person in charge of my case, yeah.
So are you meeting the police on Friday before you go to the demonstration?
I think so, yeah. I think so because this person said that we should meet on Friday. So I don't know if it's before or after the march.
You're listening to Daybreak Africa on The Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. And less than 3 weeks ahead of Ghana's election, anti-corruption special prosecutor Martin Amidu has resigned, alleging political interference with his work. Political analysts say that Amidu's resignation may affect the December polls. Stacey Nord reports from Accra, Ghana.
Ghana has had a long-running battle with corruption, with scandals under multiple governments and corruption seen as entrenched throughout society. In the 2019 Transparency International Corruption Perception Index, Ghana ranked 41 out of 100, 100 being the cleanest. As part of a 2016 campaign promise, the Office of the Special Prosecutor was set up in 2018 by the current New Patriotic Party, NPP, government. In a move which was widely praised, it gave the position to Martin Amidu, a member of the opposing political party, but known in Ghana as a strong anti-corruption campaigner. But this week, Amidu resigned after submitting a report about the government's plans to sell the rights to most of the country's precious metals royalties to Ajapa Royalties Limited, a special purpose vehicle company registered in the British Crown Dependency of Jersey. 49% of Ajapa Royalties shares are to be sold on the London Stock Exchange. The idea of the deal is that Ghana will get cash now against income from royalties in the future. But many Ghanaians are critical of the deal and how it was set up, with accusations of nepotism, conflicts of interest and poor transparency. Amidu's report raised the possibility of bid rigging and illicit financial flows. Amidu said he resigned because President Nana Akufo-Addo tried to interfere with the report, something the presidency has denied. Amidu also said his office was not adequately resourced for him to undertake investigations. The presidency also denied this. Governance expert Patrick Stevenson said the resignation reflected poorly on the government and perceptions over its willingness to fight corruption. Despite the high hopes pinned on this new office in 2018, Stevenson said it now joined the ranks of Ghana's other institutions which have failed to fight corruption meaningfully.
It shows that we have very limited commitment to fighting corruption beyond the establishment of institutions. It shows that we are prepared to subvert rules and regulations so long as certain individuals and characters are involved. And this reflects poorly on the thinking of the ordinary Ghanaian in terms of the commitment of not just this government, but any government in fighting corruption.
Stacey Knott for VOA News, Accra.
And now it's time for Daybreak Africa Sports. And for that, we turn to Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. Good morning to you, Samson.
Good Friday morning to you too, Jackson. We begin the sports with a look at the qualifiers for the CAF 2022 Nations Cup after match day 4. Holders Algeria, 2019 runners-up Senegal, Tunisia and Mali all booked their place in the next edition of the Total African Cup of Nations with 2 match days to spare. Meanwhile, 4 teams, namely Chad, Sao Tome and Principe, Togo and Eswatini, can no longer qualify to the finals. After the conclusion of match day 4 fixtures, a total of 24 matches were played over the 12 groups, seeing 8 wins for the home sides, 9 draws and 7 away victories. A total of 46 goals were scored. Staying with the AFCON 2022 qualifiers, Nigeria's sports minister, Sunday Dare, has questioned the competence of Super Eagles coach Gernot Rohr following the 2 draws against Sierra Leone in the 2021 AFCON Cup of Nations qualifiers. The Super Eagles could only take 2 points from 2 games against Sierra Leone. The first, which held on Friday, November 13th, was more disappointing as Nigeria's national team squandered a 4-0 lead to draw the game 4-4 before a goalless draw 4 days later away at Freetown. Now the Minister of Youth and Sport is insisting that his ministry has the power to reposition the senior male national football team for optimal performance.
We're going to sit back. We're going to review what has happened. We'll review the entire team. We'll look at our players, whether they're qualified or not, whether they're ready for the team. We'll also look at the technical advisor. We'll also look at the entire people involved with football administration and the Super Eagles. You see, when you fail to do the necessary check, then you run the risk of repeating the failures and the disappointments. That's what I mean.
And now to athletics, where the Ugandan Athletics Federation has launched the 2021 Olympic Games calendar. As the curtains come down on the 2020 season on November 28th, with the National Mountain Running Championships set to be held in Kapachua. The 2021 calendar will start with the first track and field trials slated for January 23rd, 2021 in Kampala. The Federation has also lined up 15 track and field local competitions and 4 international events in the 2021 season geared towards assisting more athletes to qualify for the Olympic Games. Dominic Otochet is the president of the Uganda Athletics Federation.
By the time we go for the Olympic Games, we'll have had part of the Diamond League series start, and also the continental tours. Those championships will also enable our athletes to qualify.
And that's it on Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, Jackson, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson, and have a nice weekend. And that's it for this Friday, November 20th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for spending your week with us. Join us again Monday for more African news and features right here on the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, producer Nicole Beckford, I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, wishing you a very good weekend ahead, Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat and dumbolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the evening.